You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 26th of October. Turnovers, more turnovers, and even more turnovers. We'll walk through all 24 turnovers of last night. Boy, this sounds like fun. And then take your questions on a Facebook Live edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Glad to have you with me today. Thank you very much. Facebook Live audience as well. And appreciate everybody who played along with our draft thing yesterday. I won. I'm talking trash. I'm going to look it up right here. I got a little clutch. I finished in second and one and won the other yesterday. They were fun. Eric Name, actually, of Locked On Bucks beat me. So that kind of bums me out. But I won the other one. I'm taking that for a plus. Here's my results on the October 25th draft. On the second draft, the one we did live on the show, I won. So DeMar DeRozan and Carmelo, remember who I didn't really want to get yesterday? I got them, and we won. Marc Gasol had 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. Carmelo Anthony had 28 and 10, which helped me, and Bradley Beal had 28 in a loss to the Lakers. And then I finished in second in the other one, lost by about 23 points. So, and I only beat Slick Willie by 0.6 points. But I'll take it. That's still a win. All right. You can get this show on Apple and Android and everything like that. Google Home, Alexa. Tell it to say, Alexa, play podcast, Locked On Jazz. Or say, I do it right now, it'll start. So say, okay, you know that word, and then play podcast Locked On Jazz. All right, thank you very much. That was not good last night. So we're 2-3, and the defense actually has continued to be great, and the offense has not. The offense completely fell apart in the last two games, largely predicated on turnovers. And I went back and watched all 24 of the turnovers this morning. The one thing that is kind of stunning is at one point in the game, the Jazz had turned the ball over 25% of their possessions. You probably cannot win doing that. Currently, the Jazz are last in the league in taking care of the ball, turning it over 19.5% of our possessions. So if you look at the four factors offensively, we're still shooting it pretty well above average at 51.7 effective field goal percentage. We went to the free throw line a bit more last night, but we're 25th in the league at going to the line. We have stopped offensive rebounding either because we've pulled favors out of the middle or because we are working so much to get back in transition. And we are the third worst offensive rebounding team in the league now. And we're last in the league at turnovers. So this is a tough script. If we don't shoot it really well, we're going to have some bad offensive nights. And the last two have been worse than I would have anticipated. And I was probably on the side of thinking it could go wrong. So we have now slid to the fifth worst offensive team in the league. And it's tough. The defense has actually continued to be great throughout this. The Clippers and the Suns were under a point per possession for most of the night in both of the last two games. The Clippers scored on 7 of their final 8 possessions. And so that kind of flipped it around and changed that. And then last night, it was a little bit garbage time, but I think the numbers still came out well last night. So let's look at that. We always open with that on the numbers, but I did kind of want to just open up on where we were. And so that's the story of last night. That was a little bit of a different intro to the way we usually do just getting into the numbers. By the way, today's show is a Friday, is a Thursday Facebook Live Shamrock Auto Group edition. Rob Taylor and the crew. I'll tell you a little bit more about them coming up. Also brought to you by the Advocates. But thanks for the Facebook Live edition with Rob. All right, so 97-88 loss last night. The offensive rating, the pace of play was 101. So that was a fast game last night. The Suns finished the night with an offensive rating of 96.1. You should almost win every time you keep someone under 100. That this, to me, actually, what's disturbing about the last two losses is that the defense did what we think they should do to be able to get wins, right? Your baseline should be that your offense can get you a point per possession. That was the worst offense in the league last year. And so half the time you should be able to do it. So if your defense is holding someone under a point per possession, you should win. We basically have done that both the last two games and lost. And last night it wasn't close. The offensive rating last night was an 87.2. The worst offense in the league right now is the Knicks. So right now, you know, the small sample size, we interestingly have a bunch of really bad offenses. 9 offenses are below a point of possession. That's worth keeping an eye on. It's early in the season. Last year, at the end of the year, there were none. So it's a little weird that we have 9. Philadelphia was the worst offense in the league last year at 100.7. So again, I hold to my, if we can keep people under a point of possession, we should be winning. We did it last night. We turned it over 21.4% of our possessions. We only got an offensive rebound on 15% of our misses. That's a new number. I haven't been talking about that a lot, so let's see if we can explain that and have it make some sense. I know your head's going to explode. League average was us last year, offensive rebound, 23%. So 77% of all rebounds are usually defensive rebounds. So last night, we were on the wrong side of both. We allowed 30% of our misses, of the Suns' misses, to be offensive rebounds, so we were only at 70%. So we had a bad rebounding night as well, which makes it even more remarkable how good that the defense was good. We only allowed them to go to the line 9 times, which is why the defense was good last night. We went to the line 25 times, which was awesome. It was a nice step in the right direction. So that's that breakdown. Let's go look at our player tracking numbers and see what we can learn. I have it up somewhere. Here we go. So this is what was a little surprising, was the amount of shots that uncontested shots the night before. We got 50. Looks like there might be a mistake. Looks like there might. Doesn't look like these have worked. Doesn't look like StatsView has worked tonight from Second Spectrum. There's negative numbers and there's, I just scanned it. It said 24, but that, I don't think that's right. Well, it doesn't, might be. We may have gone, if this is right, put a little hesitancy on this. We might have gone from 52 open looks the night before to 24 last night. I don't know if that's true, but if that is true, that's pretty telling. That doesn't seem to be enough shots between the two, so I'm not convinced that that's true. Our shot zones last night, 2 of 9 on the corner threes. 9 corner threes is a lot. So, I mean, again, 9 corner threes is really a lot when you turn the ball over almost every time. We are 4 of 16 on above the break three. So league average is 35%. We should be league average other than Rubio, but and Donovan, frankly. And we are 4 of 16 there. We only had 19 shots in and around the rim. Phoenix took 96 shots last night because they didn't turn it over as much as we did. And the surprising thing to me was how much action they got last night in around the rim, the restricted area. If you go back to the Denver game and Oklahoma City game where we're not allowing them to get into the paint, they had 36 shots, 38% overall of their shots in the restricted area, which is too many. They had a good mid-range game. TJ Warren led the way. Pretty hot. They were over the league average by 5 percentage points, and they were 1 of 4 on corner threes. So we continued our good defense of not allowing corner threes. All right, we are going to walk through all 24 turnovers. Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. I just can't wait for this. Why am I possibly listening to this show, you think to yourself? But first, I want to tell you about Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Taylor is the owner of Shamrock Auto Group. Good guy, great listener of the program, nice, good cyclist, all sorts of good things. And here's his message to you. I'm relaying it. He wants to make the process easy and pleasant. So, actually, let's back up. Who are they? They're out in Pleasant Grove. They do their best work with used cars or nearly new cars. Their thing that makes Shamrock Auto Group cool is that the general manager is a former mechanic, so when he's going out to buy the cars, he knows exactly what he's going to get, and he makes sure he's got it good. Okay, so that's the outs. What's the structure? Rob runs it. He's got his guys. They're all totally solid. Now the next part of it is Kellen and Brady are his guys, by the way, if you want to meet them. The next part of it is now they've got the cars. What are they going to do? They're going to make sure that your process is easy and pleasant. They're going to get you out the door pricing in 5 minutes. Just ask, no pressure, no waiting, no drama. They have the nicest cars. They specialize in nearly new cars and trucks, no accidents, still under factory warranties. Some of the examples, a 2006 Acura TL at 52,000 miles, no accidents, 8 service records, mint conditions. 2005 Acura TL, 55,000. This was as of the 11th. 2006 Chevy Corvette, 10,000 original miles, 6-speed manual California car, no accidents, service record. The 2011 Subaru Outback Limited, 33,000 miles, 3.6-liter engine, California car, 8 service records, no accidents. You will not find nicer cars anywhere. Just try to find. You can't do it. So call 801-361-9796. That's 801-361-9796. Visit the website shamrockautogroup.com. And for Locked On Jazz listeners, ask for family and friends pricing. That's the key there. And take a look at their Google reviews and their cars.com reviews. It'll blow you out of the water. All right, let's go through 24 turnovers. And there's some consistent. Rubio has an awful start to the game. Okay, that's the first thing. It changes the game. Rubio drive into the lane, poor pass over the shoulder, runs in the lane, doesn't have anywhere to go, passes back to the wing. Devin Booker intercepts it, 2 points going the other way. The Rubio is terrific. He plays with an awesome passion. His reluctancy to take shots in around the rim leads to a lot of these turnovers. Rodney Hood just travels on a handoff, okay, out of rhythm. Fast break. How much of these? Empty the Noggin has not been edited, so it has not been posted. And on Empty the Noggin last night, I kind of speculated. So I said, how come these turnovers are being committed? First, a shortened training camp. Second, lack of one-on-one players. You need to have more actions, more movements, passes to be able to get open. Lack of spacing means the passing lanes are narrow and therefore an increased. Accelerated pace is getting team out of rhythm. And I'm really not sure which of these images it is, and I said, but we'll look at it. So here's the look at it. So fast break, Rubio throws really poor over the shoulder, behind the back pass to Gobert. He gets in the lane. He doesn't want to finish around the rim. Ricky's been really bad at layups around the basket and was again last night in his career. And he's reluctant to take that shot, and so he throws a bad pass over the shoulder, and it's a turnover. Okay, so that's three. Rubio gets caught on the left wing. He's kind of comes over there. He's going to play a little pick-and-roll two-man game with Gobert. They don't communicate well enough. Ball gets passed away. If I have to put that on something, I'd say carelessness, lack of one-on-one players, and lack of communication amongst to each other. Then there's a stretch of 5 straight turnovers that I would all call too much turnovers. In other words, because our roles are not clearly defined, who's the go-to guy, who's the second guy, who's the third, and they're not going to be. We're not clearly defined offensively on who has what role. Guys are playing a little bit out of their regular set, thinking they have to do more. So Cephalosha turns it over on a dribble. Mitchell, who's just out of control offensively right now as a rookie and for the first time kind of seemed beaten down by it yesterday. He'll get there. High pick and roll, runs in the lane, runs into a 7'1" Tyson Chandler, drags his pivot foot, turnover. Cephalosha trying to do a dribble drive. That's not who he is. Cephalosha's a ball mover, off-ball slasher, average three-point shooter, unbelievable defensive player. He's not a beat-you-down dribble drive guy. He tries it, turns it over. Ingles is a best spot-up shooter in the league, good passer, play off the pick and roll, distribute, tough defensive player. He's not a one-on-one guy. He drives, draws an offensive foul. Ulis gave Neto the biz a little bit last night. Offensive foul. So there's five straight turnovers on what I would say is a guy trying to do more than he is in his skill set. Okay? Rodney, back-to-back carries. I think it was Rodney. Might have been Rubio on one of them. Now we're at 11. Rubio, just a loose dribble. Just ball comes out of his hands. In the lane, just a loose dribble, gets away from him. Amount of time he spends with the ball, that probably happens every now and then. Rubio, pick and roll to Gobert, turnover. Okay, that communication is not coming together. Teams are either knocking off Rudy's route. We're not seeing yet what we hope to see between Rubio and Gobert. Rubio gives it to Gobert on a fast break, too high, and he turns it over. So there's our second fast break turnover, where we're accelerating the pace, and so we're turning the ball over. We're at 14. 15, Cephalosha, offensive foul on a pick. Okay, happens. 16, Gobert tries to throw a high-low through traffic to Favors, trying to do too much. you know you're struggling. You're trying to do it. Favors tries to ride Bender out of the post for an offensive foul. That one was I don't care. I mean, not that Derek didn't care, but just like, I'm going to ride him, and if I get called, who cares? Gobert, 18 on a bad pass. I didn't get much detail on that. Oh, because there was no video on that. There was no video. 19, Mitchell and Neto in transition, miscommunicate, turnover number 9. Another one. So that's three fast break cases. Mitchell steps out of bounds on a catch, going too fast. Mitchell trying to go one-on-one, probably the too much category for him right now, turns it over. Hood drives into the lane, trying to go one-on-one, gets suffocated defensively, has no shot window, no pass window, turns it over. Rubio can't read my own writing. Gobert passes to Hood, goes off his hands, out of bounds. So what's the consensus? When you have 24 turnovers, it's a lot of everything. I think there's definitely an element that we're running and pushing, and that's leading to some. There's an element that we don't have a rightful order of the basketball universe offensively, and so guys are probably trying to do a little bit more than they would regularly do. There's an element that we have a talent dearth offensively. And there's a lack of time together and communication on these. Okay? And then I think the last one is we're running an offensive system that we have to run because we don't have one-on-one players. This is probably the lack of offense. That means that you're going to turn the ball over at times. That we're going to be passing, moving, trying to get because our guys... Joe Ingles is not, Ronnie Hood are not setting you up on the outside and just beating you one-on-one. Cephalosha's not doing that. Rubio's not doing that. So we don't have the guys to go beat you one-on-one, so we better run all this system and move the ball and set these picks, and the problem is that that's going to have us probably be a high turnover team. So that's my take. Since Empty the Noggin has not gotten up, is there anything else that I wrote last night that was interesting? Rodney, 22 points. I loved Rodney's line last night. 22 points, 16 shot attempts, 7 of those threes, free throw line 4 times. That's close to perfect balance. 6 free throws would be better. But otherwise, shot distribution, that's pretty perfect. Gobert, 16 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. The bench last night, 3 of 18 shooting and 8 turnovers. And then I'm going to just throw this out there, by the way. I think this will fall on pretty deaf ears, and I think if I were in your shoes, it would fall on deaf ears as well. And then I think it actually might have a bigger impact than we probably want to admit. Like, the other guys are NBA players. They're juiced. The opening schedule for the Jazz was home Wednesday, travel Thursday, game Friday, travel, game Saturday, day off, travel, game LA, game Phoenix. So we played 4 games in 6 nights, 5 games in 8 nights in no city back-to-back, and with 1 day off. Okay, Phoenix played home. Oh, wait, no, that's us. So that's not, like, they've gotten rid of Brodal, right? 4 games, 5 nights last year in Denver. We didn't have a chance. We had a chance last night. But Phoenix opened on the 18th, flew to L.A. after their game on the 20th, played a game, came back. So they've played 5 games, been in 2 cities, and have been home with a lot of turbulence for 5 straight days. In those same 5 days, the Jazz have been in 4 different cities. Just the difference between an NBA player and an NBA player is not that much. So when you start to play with that, it does impact the game and might be the reason for 24 turnovers. Okay? I don't really think that is, you're going to say, well, Phoenix sucks. Okay. That's probably fair. Along the way. So that's what I got for you. Let's get to your questions. The show today also brought to you by the Advocates. The Advocates are cool. It was cool to get to know them. I love one of my favorite parts about having sponsors and doing this and getting to meet people is I go sit down with all of them and learn about their businesses, and I'm so curious about their businesses. And I have to tell you, I didn't think personal injury would be very interesting. I was running crazy. I got there. I just had this great meeting over at the store, and I got there, and there was Matt sitting there at the table, beautiful little cute house and up by the Avs. And I sat down, and I just was quickly engaged in this conversation about the business. It's pretty cool. So basically the premise on the Advocates is, first one, he really, like, okay, we're not going to be ashamed that we're personal injury attorneys. We're there for people. We're helping people out. We're not ashamed by it. Then the guy has taken, like, personal injury attorney and approached it the way, like, Picasso does a painting. Like, or maybe actually Chuck Close is a better example if you follow. So he's basically figured out the craft. There's 106 steps by which take place in a personal injury case on a car accident. And they're going to walk through all of these. For 25 years, they've done this, and they've gotten better. Boom, 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 boom. And so it's going to set good results. Make sure nothing bad happens to you and treat you well. Well, how are they going to do that? Because they have the structure figured out. They map out your best experience. They have special, if you think about it, like, from a football standpoint, you got an offensive line, a defensive line, you got linebackers. I know football's a bad analogy in Utah right now, but, and they've got special teams that work on every single one of those 106 steps. The lawyer's working with you directly, and you get a call from your lawyer within 60 seconds, and they can then take it through this checklist and get it done. Accidents are different. Process is the same. They have a process that they've figured out that is efficient. That efficiency gives you productivity, gives you communication, expedites the process, and most importantly, have experts at the task, at each of the individual tasks, that make sure that you get the best results, make sure nothing bad happens to you, and treat you well. That's the Advocates. It's that simple. UtahAdvocates.com. All right, let's go to your questions. Nice shirt. Thank you, Logan. Seahawk love. My wife used to be the sideline reporter there, so my daughter and her are going to the game this weekend. Parker Richie. It seems like George Hill was the type of guy that passed the ball around to really rotate the ball, and it didn't matter who shot. Sometimes I feel like Rubio only wants to make the pass to an assist, and he doesn't bring the ball back up rather than swing it around. Am I delusional or maybe a stat check? No, I think there's something to what you're saying. Rubio feels that his role on the team is to make the pass for the assist rather than, you're right, George actually was probably more interested in getting his shot. So, and George would get his shot by giving it up to get his shot. Like, George is still an offensive player. So I think there's something valid to that, and there's an adjustment that the Jazz have to make. Last year, you know, if you probably looked at our touches each game, they were pretty spread out. Now you've got Rubio with 9,900 touches each game. So I think there's something to watch there, and it's a good observation of the change, and it's what's leading to some of these turnovers. Locked On Sonics throwback. What is causing you the most concern through five games? Free throws or turnovers? Turnovers. Free throws might be who we are. Turnovers are probably, and I'm not a turnover guy. I don't worry about turnovers usually, because turnovers are usually actually good for your offense because they're pushing you to make a play. And this has not been the case. I mean, when I run through those, and I probably should have done a better job of this, Rubio drive, poor pass to the wing. I don't think that was creating points. Rodney Hood traveling, that was not creating points. Rubio fast break, over-the-shoulder pass, maybe. That was probably trying to get a dunk for – so we'll give that one a plus. That's a turnover that if it had been completed. Rubio gets caught in the left wing, slop. That's not creating any points. Cephalosha on the dribble seems unlikely. Mitchell, high pick and roll into Chandler. I mean, he's trying, so that's actually probably closer, but it's still Cephalosha on the dribble drive. Ingles, offensive foul. Neto, offensive foul. Hood carry. Loose ball, Rubio. He was getting into the paint, going fast, maybe. Let's give it that. Might have led to points. Rubio, pick and roll, probably with Gobert, leads to points. Fast break pass to Gobert, too high. Just not a very good decision, or knowing your personnel. Right, so... like a lot of times, if you think about Russ or someone who turns it over a lot, they're getting into the paint and they're finding an opportunity there to get the ball to somebody. And if they don't get it to him, then it would have been two. You know, it's a turnover, but if they do, it's 2 points. I'm not sure that is necessarily where we are right now. The only question I just thought of, and let me look this up, is whether or not our turnovers are just up in the league. Now, we're last in the league, so we shouldn't be there. But is the shortened training camp causing more turnovers? Middle of the league right now is about 15%. The fast pace should be creating less turnovers because everyone's playing at an outrageous pace. Last year, we were at 15%, this year we're at 15% of the median team, and last year we were at 14. So turnovers are up a little bit. So there's probably a training camp issue early season. Does Rudy not seem a step slow on reaction time? Seems like not as much to prove. I'm hearing this Rudy stuff. I don't think he... I think there's a little bit of a... I think people might have got to a point where they, over the offseason, maybe forgot who he was and think he's... I don't think Rudy's been unbelievable, but I think Rudy's that far off. I mean, his plus-minus is not good, but... I mean, he's shooting 68% from the field. He's shooting 80% from the line. He's getting 14 rebounds, 14 points, which is higher than last year. 11 rebounds... His assists, steals, and blocks are all the exact same. He's got more turnovers. I think that's because he's got a new point guard. Defensively, we've been great. I feel like that there's a weird thing that happened in the offseason where people just, Rudy got second team all league, and maybe people kind of got pretty excited who Rudy is and maybe forgot who Rudy is. But I'm hearing this Rudy criticism, and... I'm not sure on that. Okay. Is there a guy the Jazz could go get for a trade, or that would even help? To me, Jabari Parker is worth the risk, but I don't know what it takes to get him. And probably a max contract on the backside, which would be a little tough. Are Jazz fans overreacting after a loss last night, or is this the first... or is it a first-of-the-season team trying to gel back-to-back regular thing in the NBA? I mean, I think this is... we have a... back-to-back nights of really bad offense are hard for fans to handle, okay? The turnover problem to me is unnerving. I did a podcast this week basically telling you this was coming. So I'm not surprised by it. When you're in the bottom five in rebounding, turnover rate, free throw rate, you're putting an undue burden on your shooting on a team that might not be great shooting. I'm not bringing it up as much because I think it falls on deaf ears. I think the scheduling thing right there, that's as bad a stretch as the Jazz have all year. I mean, really, long road trips sometimes, you can play a long road trip is almost easier than what the Jazz did right there. Home, Denver, at Minnesota, back-to-back Oklahoma City, day off, to L.A., to Phoenix, back. Like, that's not... The only one that's worse is we do an Atlanta, Detroit, Toronto every other day, but we come back and get 3 days off, so never mind. No, I think that might be... We have a Portland game in right before the All-Star break and a San Antonio game at home that are a little brutal. There's a little bouncing around the country that's brutal. We have a really soft stretch coming up right now where we're just home and we can work on this. And if this continues for the next week, then I'd worry about it. I always think this is a funny phrase. Is AB in the doghouse? Did you see AB play against the Clippers? Okay, did you see Cephalosha play against the Clippers? They're splitting minutes until we dig into Donovan's minutes. And Donovan's going to be an interesting decision here. He is as good as he is defensively right now, he is on the other spectrum offensively. It's a problem. And he's great defensively right now. But he is, if your pendulum is, you know, Salt Lake City is being pretty good at both. He's in Boise, Idaho on one end and St. George on the other. And so... as long as we're still developing Donovan, then Burks and Cephalosha are splitting minutes. Cephalosha had a double-double the night before, and AB went a bit rogue the night before. So I think those two are going to platoon a bit. What are your thoughts on the Eric Bledsoe situation? I don't know what they're going to get for him. And they're certainly not portraying him as a guy you want to put on your team, which is a problem by their on their part. Is there anything... to Rudy being negative plus minus in every game so far, aside from last night when he was even. I mean, at some point here, we have a sample size that's probably big enough to start digging into whether or not, and I don't know what our answer on this would be, of whether or not the lack of spacing with Rubio favors and Gobert is a problem. But there's a lot of, there's very little spacing in that grouping right there. And so, you know, at what point do we get concerned about that? But those groupings aren't great. So the offensive rating right now, that group is a 90.4. They also played some games without Rodney. So you have to be a little careful about it. But it's not great. When Rodney's in with Ricky and Rudy, you know, that whole group is struggling. Our main group offensively's offensive ratings are not good. Played really without Joe Ingles for... Joe wasn't very good again last night. Bypassed some shots. So, you know, now on the other end, you know, small sample size, so you have to be careful. But, like, Favors and Gobert with Donovan Mitchell are somehow offensively good, which just, you know, makes very, very little sense. But right now, I mean, the Ricky and Rudy are not connecting as we had hoped, and so that... offensive grouping is not particularly good right now. I think their offensive rating is like an 88. But again, we got 150 minutes of sample size. So at some point, you start to have to look at some of these sample sizes and try to figure out what's happening there in that regard. Seems to me that Donovan's struggles could be handled more in practice than in games. Five games... missing shots, long with everything, going too fast. I think you got to let him just play through this if he's important to you. But he's shooting 25% from the field and 17% from three. So keep an eye. Go back and watch. Go look at Gary Harris. It's a player we should all kind of get to know. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. I don't know that Jamal Murray. You know, I don't know if we know about Jamal Murray yet as a player, but Gary Harris. Who's pretty darn good. First year, shot 30% from the field and 20% from three. And last year was the best catch and shoot guy in the NBA. So, and very similar. Mom was a professional athlete. great makeup, you know, really bright, very similar aspects to the two of them. Michigan State, Louisville, lot of similarities in who the two of them are. Harris started his career 6 for 10 in night 1, then went 0 for 3, 3 for 8, 2 for 6, 0 for 2, 0 for 4, 1 for 8, 0 for 2, 2 for 7, 0 for 4, 0 for 2, 0 for 4, 1 for 5, 2 for 7. Like, it's pretty brutal, right? I mean, so he's a pretty good player. Thoughts about the 5 games on the new timeout structure? I think it changes things. Luke Walton's like using all of his early and getting away with it. Rubio feels like he has something to prove on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, if you're going under on picks, he's got to shoot. He's a very good mid-range shooter. He's over 50%. All because one guy left. Two guys, George Hill left. We changed who we are. The point guard change is significant, and you got to let these guys work through it and let Quinn work through it. How worried should we be about the offense? I mean, the goal is to try to get in the 20s offensively, be elite defensively, and then you're going to win games. So I don't think the goal was ever to be an elite offensive team. They're going to have to just pick up, take care of the ball a little better, get to the free throw line like they did last night, not turn it over quite as much. All right. We probably should sign Jimmer. That would do it. Why was Rubio's defense so bad last night? I didn't notice that. I thought the team's defense was pretty good. There are definitely some moments where they can get better, but I didn't notice that. Is Exum's injury having a bigger impact than we realized? I mean, he had a uniqueness to what he was doing and his ability to push the tempo with Donovan and relieve the pressure on Donovan that was unique to his role on the team that somebody else can't help. So maybe in some way. Hi, Shannon. Do you think I have no idea if we're active at the trade deadline? Rudy doesn't seem like he's playing with the extra chip on his shoulder. Again, I'm not sure what we're asking out of him. He seems to hey, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's some delusion on what he's running the floor. He's playing pretty hard. Maybe running is hard on him. He's 7-1. Eric Bennett wants Royce O'Neal, so we have the question. I like Royce O'Neal. I actually think he'll play in the league, but we have started our run for the 14th guy to solve our problems. Is there anything we do free throws more often or the limited number of attempts? It's a little bit of who we are. There's probably got to be an aggressiveness to the basket. We have a tendency to kind of play to the sides. But I would say it's a little bit of who we are, but it was pretty good last night. Exum has not been ruled out of the season, but he hasn't been ruled in either. All right, more on the Rudy thing. I just don't see it, guys. I mean, I think he could probably play a little bit better, but make sure we know what we're asking. A lot of in regards to Mitchell, isn't it a lot better to have a rookie you reel in? Yes, it's universally better to have to reel someone in than to make him act. That is, turnovers for a young player are good. Is it just a matter of getting our quarterback Rubio along with Burks, Mitchell, Tabo accustomed to the system? I think there's something to that. I think the point guard change is a bigger deal than maybe any of us thought it would be. I think we thought it would be seamless, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's the case. Rubio. Tyson Ewing wants to know about Rubio's aggressiveness. You know, I think there's a freedom that he's being given from Quinn that he hasn't been given from other coaches, and there's a belief that that'll bring the best out of him. The other thing is, you know, if Rodney's been out for a bunch of games, who's shooting? Right? Rubio is taking 11.6 shots a game. He took 9 last year. His most ever before that was 10. His shooting percentage is above his career average a little bit. His three-point shooting is unusually low. He's taking more, which is where the game's going. He's going to the line his usual amount. His rebounding is up a little bit, and his assists are right about where he is. His steals are back up. So you're really getting pretty much who Rubio is. And the interesting one on him, by the way, is I would guess that he's a 31% three-point shooter in his career, that he's not a 22% three-point shooter, so that gets better. And then all of a sudden, he's averaging 15, 16 points a game. All right, we're going to take two more questions because we're at the 40-minute mark. You always say the least effective shot in the mid-range shot outside the paint feels like Favors lives there. Yeah, I mean, he's taken two. Should he extend to the three? I know he's working on it. He's taken two brutal threes late in games this year, though. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want, it's interesting what things that I would, if I was, like, sending a question. The thing that got my ire up last night, and I always know it's bad if Ron Boone doesn't say anything. Like, if you're listening to our radio broadcast and Ron Boone goes dead silent, then you know he's, like, really beside himself. On the fourth quarter last night, and I'll bet you it wasn't as close as it felt, but these were the two plays that ended the game in my book. We got it to eight. Booker missed. There's 3 minutes left, and we have a chance to get it down. And Gobert, with what I think is about 9 seconds on the shot clock, tries a nine-foot floater. So what's interesting is some people are criticizing Rudy for not having a chip. Like, my criticism would be, like, get back in your lane. That's him. And then we get another stop, 2:40 left, and with 14 on the shot clock, Favors takes a angle left three. Like, those two possessions to me were the most glaring of the night, because what they show to me is we don't know where we're going for our points. We don't have a rightful order of the basketball universe. We don't have, oh, in this circumstance, we go to this guy. When 30-whatever-year-old Joe Johnson last night on a back end of a back-to-back in four games and six nights looks like it. We don't have him on the floor. We don't have who we're going to. And that, I think, stems all of this. You got to have the rightful order of the basketball universe. Go-to guy, second option, third guy. When you don't, that's what Denver's got a problem with right now. Frankly, I think Minnesota's going to have a little problem with it right now. You know, Denver's not very good right now. When you don't have that, then you get those two possessions. Because everyone has the best intentions. They're trying to do the right thing for the team. They're going to make that play. Those aren't the right plays. And that's the issue. Today's show brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Go check them out. Look at the web, see what they're doing. In addition, The Advocates, utahadvocates.com. Facebook Live Edition brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. We'll be back with you. Empty the Noggin will get posted here shortly. It just came to me edited. So hope you're good. Have a great day, and we'll talk with you tomorrow.